Was Jesus a mere moral teacher, or was he something more? That's what we're going to find out today in this episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for listening today. We've got a really great show lined up for you. This is our third program in our series on the book of 1 John. We believe that clearly understanding that little letter of 1 John can make a big impact on your life as a believer. Well, let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we have been going through the letters of John, the three letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. These letters are just so important, so central to having information about how to live the Christian life to its fullest. And we spent the last two episodes just going over some introductory material, and now it's time to actually dig into the text itself. But Bob, can you just summarize very quickly for us what we've been talking about so far?
Okay, we've said that probably the key interpretive question we need to answer before we even dig into individual passages is, what's the purpose of 1 John? What's the purpose of the letter? And we discussed that there are two major purposes. One, this is telling us whether we have eternal life. And two, this is telling us how to have fellowship with God. And we suggested that 1, 3, and 4 clearly lays out that he's written these things that the readers might have fellowship with God.
Right. So that's the perspective we're taking on 1 John. And that's especially what we're going to talk about in this episode, because we're going to talk about the first four verses.
I took a course in seminary in Greek on 1 through 3 John. I remember the first day in class when we got to the text of John 1, 1 through 4. And of course, I'd read it before, but I'd never read it real carefully. When the professor started going through the text, I thought how bizarre these first two verses are. I mean, there's no mention of the readers, there's no mention of the author's name, and the way he refers to Jesus is rather obscure. I mean, he doesn't mention his name, but yet when the professor went through it, it became clear to me that the way John has done this in the first two verses is amazingly powerful. It's all emphasizing our senses, what we hear, what we see, what we touch. Our faith is not grounded upon some sort of hypothetical idea that somebody had, but it's based on a real person that the Apostle John really heard, really saw, really spent time with. And so as you read these first few verses, listen to the power of them.
All right, let's pay attention to the senses here. Chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard,
right,
which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that our joy may be full. Well, Bob, I've been watching these old movies with my kids. We're currently watching Jason and the Argonauts. I don't know if you remember that movie. And, and Jason goes after the Golden Fleece and he fights these monsters, right? I love this claymation type of monsters. And my kids were getting really, you know, kind of excited by this, but they were getting confused too, because there's some scenes where Jason goes to Mount Olympus and he's talking to Zeus and Hera. And I had to explain to them, now you understand that this is make-believe. These are the gods and goddesses that the ancient Greeks believed in, but they don't actually exist. They're false. If you were to go to Mount Olympus and climb up there, you would not see the palace of the gods. It's just right. Not there. But what a contrast to the Bible. Because here, the apostle says, I heard it. I saw it with my own eyes.
Right.
I handled the word of life with my own hands.
Right.
This is real.
Absolutely.
This is not make-believe. I was there. Isn't that powerful?
It is powerful. In fact, notice, similar to the Gospel of John, where we don't hear a reference to the name of Jesus in the prologue until the very end of those 18 verses. Same thing here. We don't see the name of Jesus until the end of verse 3, his son Jesus Christ. Notice he refers to him as that which was from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a reference to Jesus, but he doesn't come right out and say Jesus. He says that which was from the beginning, which is either a reference to his eternality or it's a reference to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. Well, Jesus is the word of life. He is the message of life, and that's amazing.
Right.
And then he says, the life was manifested. Well, he's calling Jesus the life. And to make it clear what kind of life he's talking about, he says, and we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father. You remember in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the beginning with God. Well, here, the one that was with the Father is called eternal life. Well, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2 and also 5:21, John calls him eternal life.
Isn't that interesting? So Jesus
yeah.
is not just like a preacher like you and I promising someone eternal life, which we do and which we have authority to do. But he's more than that. He's eternal life itself. He's the source of it.
He is the source of it. And so we cannot say we are eternal life. We have it, but he is it. Remember he said, I am the way, the truth, and the what?
The life.
Yeah, and he's talking about I am everlasting life. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. He is everlasting life. That's how he can give it out, because he's giving of his own life to those who believe in him.
These verses speak very powerfully that he is far more than just a human being who happened to be a good teacher. He's eternal life. Think about that.
Right. And keep in mind, Sean, that it took John and the other apostles 3.5 years to get what he's saying in the first 3 or 4 verses. Did they realize at the beginning that this was God in the flesh? No, of course not. Remember when they're in the boat and the boat's filling with water and they wake him up, Lord, save us, we're perishing, and he calms the storm, calms the sea, and they say, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?
Right. It was just barely dawning on them. They knew he was the Messiah, and they knew he was a miracle worker.
Right.
But then this kind of deeper truth was starting to dawn on them, that he was far more than what they were thinking.
Notice it's kind of odd at the end of verse 1 where he says, and our hands have handled. Why bring that up? Well, of course, he's trying to say we not only heard him and we not only saw him, but we touched him. This wasn't some angel. This wasn't some spirit. This was a physical being. But this almost certainly looks at John chapter 20. And you'll remember in John 20, after Jesus appears to all the disciples except Thomas, they tell Thomas that we've seen the Lord risen from the dead.
And Thomas, like a good skeptic, says, I'm not going to believe it until I can touch him.
Right. And then what does Jesus say when he appears in the room? Come here, Thomas, and touch and see that it's me. Touch my hands. See the nail prints in my hands. Touch my side. Thomas then says, John 20:28, my Lord and my God.
Right.
That's the pivotal statement in John's gospel of the deity of Christ.
And that's the bookend. The front end of that bookend is in John 1:1.
Right.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you have the deity of Christ there and in Thomas's confession. Well, what I really also love about these first 4 verses is that John is not only emphasizing the deity of Christ by calling him eternal life, he's also emphasizing his humanity by saying, we have touched him. We've handled him.
That's a great point, Sean. It's not just God came to earth and kind of appeared like a man.
Right.
They call that docetism. He seemed to be a man, but he wasn't really a man.
Right.
He really was a man.
Right.
He really walked the earth. He really lived. He really died. He died for our sins. the deity and humanity are both emphasized here.
What I also love about this, God did this. God came to us because John 3:16, he loved the world. That includes he loved you. He came to this earth for you, to have a relationship, fellowship with you if you believe in Jesus. You don't have to build the Tower of Babel in some type of attempt to get to him. He already came down to you.
That is great. And that is what was going on in the Tower of Babel. They were trying to work their way to God. But he's come down to us in the form of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're right. There's only two things a person needs to do in order to have fellowship with God. First of all, they need to believe in the word of life, believe in the message of life, the one who is life, believe in him for everlasting life, John 3:16. And if you do, you have everlasting life, you'll never perish. And then two, in order to be in fellowship with God, we need to abide in his word. And we're going to see that all through 1 John. The word fellowship is koinonia. We've almost taken that over into English. And koinonia has a basic sense of sharing. When we're in fellowship with God, we share something with God. And what we share is his character and nature. To be in fellowship with God is to, in some sense, be like our Savior, to be like Christ. And so that's where we're going in this book, is how can we be more and more like Christ in our experience? And it revolves around being in church where we hear the Word of God taught so that we can abide in it.
Bob, I have been so blessed discussing these issues with you in 1 John. I'm sure our listeners have been as well. I would encourage you to tune in the same station, the same time, as we go through these three epistles of John together and discover what it means to have fellowship with God.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, for that great discussion. What an amazing idea. I certainly hope that today's program has been an encouragement to you. You know, we're only on air for a few minutes a day, but we believe that a few minutes a day can really help a believer grow and abide in Christ, which has a lot to do with the book of 1 John. Maybe you'd like to look at some of the other resources that we have that won't take up a bunch of your time, but allow you to grow nonetheless. One of the best, I think, is our blog posts. We put blog posts up every day. They're short, they're easy to read, and they're on subjects that matter to you. So come visit us at faithalone.org and get signed up for our blog posts. You can even get subscribed so that an email notification will hit your inbox each time we put up a new blog post. In addition to our blog posts, we have other free resources ready for you to take advantage of right there on the site, faithalone.org. We have a free print magazine. We have videos. We have podcasts of this show. We even have information about upcoming events that we do around the country. I hope you'll look into these and take advantage of them. Maybe you'd even like to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry to help us continue the work we're doing. If that's the case, we'd very much appreciate it. Maybe you've got ideas, questions, or comments. If that's the case, I'm going to give you our email address because we want to hear from you. We love feedback. You can reach us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to talk about the principles of fellowship found in 1 John. So tune in for that. Thanks for listening today. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.